Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
What's the story? We're back again with another episode of That's What I Heard podcast with me, Cardi Mahadi, and him,
Sean Phipps.
Hello, my darling. How are you today?
Good, baby.
Good, good.
I have one nervous pair, not two today, so I'm on to win.
So, this week we have the beautiful, gorgeous Neve with us in the studio today. How are you, Neve?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, all good. She had been starting on people, actually, on a TikTok live, calling her here this morning before she came, so that's always
good.
And
she doesn't
good.
Remember she started on them.
Yeah, I didn't remember.
You gave up on the whole, like, being civil, didn't you? It's your motto, was
yeah. No, literally.
Yeah. It's my world, and everyone's just living in it.
Absolutely, the rest is park and love, and that's what it is. So come here to me. Me and Sean obviously do have our little discussions outside the podcast. So of a Sunday, I get a bit of a notion about myself, right?
Oh, these are getting called out. I love it. Let's go.
Yeah, the ego does be fucking sky high of a Sunday morning, right? And do you want to know why? Because I often wake up on a Sunday morning to some very...
honey meshes.
Honey meshes. Have you ever had a honey hangover, Niamh?
No, what is a honey
hangover? Well, basically...
No, you have had one. I'm just asking you, just for the sake of asking you. It's a rhetorical question.
What is it?
A honey hangover. What would you say honey is?
Horny?
Yeah.
Horny?
Horny?
No. You got it right, girl. You got it right.
Right, a horny hangover.
Everybody gets a horny hangover.
Someone's... spelled honey instead of horny.
But listen, Sunday I didn't have a hard. Let's be honest, I didn't. I wasn't in the humour. I was just thinking about it and how bad people get with a honey hangover. Because there's nothing worse in the world when you're up the walls and you're at been on the gargle and you're dying of death and all you want is a little spin, but you're on your own and you're lonely. And you know what? You start considering people that you'd never so consider. Much as look
like you wouldn't even you wouldn't
day.
Even look twice at them
and you're kind of going is he that bad? Oh, no,
and then the honey is over and they're like, never will you ever hear it's from like, me again.
I get cringed when I at myself when I'm drunk. Do you ever wake up the next day and like look at the messages you're after being sent and be like, oh my god,
I have received at least 7 to 8 sorry voice notes off you after you've drank. She's like, Carly, I didn't realise, I'm just after looking at my phone now and I didn't think that like I was carrying on or anything. But
don't give a fuck when I'm drunk. I couldn't care less. I do get cringed like normally, but when I'm drunk, the shit that I come out with, then I wake up the next day and I'm like, oh my god, Niamh, like, and it replays in my mind for like a week after.
But I have a question. Do you ever apologise for it properly? Like, are you just like, meh?
Meh. Sorry, the honey hangover is what I did start with. And I am sorry for bringing that up, but let me know if you experienced a honey hangover. Let me know what the worst thing is
honey
you've
hangover.
Done
Send
on a
it
honey
in.
Hangover. The email is twih@urbanmedia.ie. Tell me the worst thing that you have done when you had a honey hangover or the worst thing you've considered doing. Anyway, we have the gorgeous Neve in the studio, as I had said. We'll start it off nice and calm. Tell us about you for people that don't know you. We know everybody knows you, but...
Right, so my name's Nevo online. My name's actually Neve, okay? So it's not Nevo. But my name's Nevo online. I started TikTok in 2020, I think.
Lockdown kind of buzz,
yeah, lockdown buzz. Lockdown manic episode. Blew up, got really popular because I lived in a mobile home. So yeah, that's my claim to fame.
I was just about to say.
Right, the backstory there is I moved out when I was 18. Like my auntie took me to live with her. Right. So I went to live with my auntie when I was 18. And then I moved back home when I was in my early 20s. I can't remember exactly what age I was. But I was after being independent because I lived in like a granny flat outside my auntie's house. So I was after being independent for years. So I didn't want to move like back into the family home. So my dad was like, look, Niamh, we can either do up the attic or we can get you a mobile home. And I was like, get me a mobile home. That's whopper. I thought that was great until I started TikTok. Apparently, it's not great.
Sorry, where are you from, honey? Because I think everybody assumes automatically you're from Dublin. You're not.
No, not from Dublin. I'm from Tully Allen, Drogheda.
Yeah, what? Sorry.
The sticks.
Bethlehem.
Like, yeah, Bethlehem.
Miles.
My neighbours are like cows and sheep and all.
Right, so I need to say something to you and it makes me giggle every single time you put up any sort of video. When Niamh's talking, she does this thing where she goes, instead of saying or she goes,
I never know, is that now I'm going to be real like,
do it for me now.
It's so funny. She goes, when she's trying to think of things. It makes me giggle all the time when I watch her videos. It's great.
I didn't even notice that I did that.
You could sound like the town said, Miles Bow.
Yeah, draw the accents like,
do it for us.
Yeah, that's what they sound like.
Oh, Sean, it's very
good. No, I'm going to get, but Drogheda's going to hate me after this. Drogheda, I love you. Your accent's lovely.
She's like, I have to come home sometime, so chase me out.
I have to come home at some stage, yeah. No, it's, you know, it's not awful. It's just very, it's a mixture of like culty and Dublin, but it's like a weird, like, it's just weird.
So, yeah, you're from Drogheda, caravan in the garden. You have a nice bit of land.
Yeah. Yeah, nice bit of road frontage. So plenty of room for the caravan.
Gorge. The most important part of your caravan area. The cars that go boom.
Oh my God.
Cars that go boom.
So the cars go boom was this song, right? And it was like, we like the cars.
The cars that go boom, right? Where did Tigra go?
I went through this era of thinking I could dance, right? Now,
do you still think you can dance?
No.
Just started, like,
no, don't think that anymore, right?
She was humbled fairly fucking quick.
Very quick.
I genuinely thought I could dance, lads. And I was giving it socks to this song. And I was wearing odd socks. Like, one of my socks was white and the other sock was black. But it was just the most horrific video ever of me. It's still on TikTok.
Honestly, it's iconic, Niamh, and it's what I know you for.
No,
to be fair,
that's my most. Do you know what? I laugh at it now, but like, it's embarrassing. Like, it's very, very embarrassing.
Sorry for that, then, for bringing that one up. Yeah,
no, I laugh at it, but it's like one of those moments. Like, I have to appreciate it because it was a pinnacle moment.
Oh, 100%, like a turning point, if you will.
Yeah, exactly.
So, growing up in Drogheda, Niamh, like, what were you like in school and stuff?
I was very bold. I had to move school and everything. I was a demon, like very,
in what
very
sense
bold.
Again break
to
it down
to teachers or to peers?
Teachers and peers.
Okay.
Yeah, both. Okay. No, not peers, actually. No, by bold to peers, like, I wasn't like bold like I was to teachers, but I just was, yeah, I was just a bit of an unhappy teenager. Like, I had a lot going on at home, I had a lot going on in my life, and went into school and kind of took that out on my teachers and stuff. Like, some of the stories of things I did in school, I can't even remember off the top of my head now, but
yeah.
People that went to school with me will know. I was very bold, but I wouldn't say that I had the kind of confidence and the loud personality that I have now. I would say that I could be quite loud at times, but it was more angry teenager vibes loud than actual
not my
confidence
dad vibes.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
that's the vibe, Kelly. Yeah, that's the vibe. I was just a bit of a witch back then, to be honest.
Okay. And do you find that people tend to point that out about you?
No, they can't, because anything, the thing about me now is I say what I want.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, there's nobody on this fine earth that's going to tell me what I can and cannot say.
Yeah.
People are walkovers. Like, I give people the respect that they give me. Like, if someone is nice to me, I'm nice to them. If somebody is not nice to me, I'm not going to be nice to someone that's not being nice to me. Enough of this, like, bollocks. Like, that's stupid. So I feel like people, if somebody came out now and was like, oh, well, Niamh called me a bitch in school, people would be like, yeah. I kind of hung around with like the cool kids in school, but
you would have been popular. So
I was always like the outsider of the cool kids because I didn't actually fit into that group.
I was like the class clown, making them happy, but they were never happy until they were doing something.
Exactly. Like, I didn't actually fit into that group. I was always like, I was very smart in school. I was in the top class. I was a quiet until I went to secondary school. So I was putting on this kind of facade nearly because I was such a target for bullying. Like, I had really prominent teeth, really big ears. Like, I wasn't a pretty teenager.
Right.
So I was such a target for bullying that I was like, right, I'm going to get in with this cool kid crowd and I'm going to put on this facade and then people will leave me alone. I feel like in school, you're just trying to survive. It's like being in the wild. And I had some pretty awful things done and said to me in school, and I don't hold them grudges against people. You know what I mean? Like, teenagers and kids are bitches. That's
evil.
It. Like, if anybody wants to come at me saying I said something to them in school, I don't care.
No, I was like that. I was a walking bastard when I was in school, and it like that was more so again towards teachers, but I would have scrapping with people if anybody had pulled me sidewards and like that. It's a transitory period. You're growing, you're learning. You're going to be an arsehole when you're a teenager. Exactly. That actually is the whole point of being a teenager.
It is.
You're just an arsehole by right.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
100%.
So I'm not the same person I was 2 years ago, let alone when
you're
I was
the same person
15.
You were 2 months ago.
Yeah. That's very true.
Glowing.
Yeah.
So, loving it.
Thank you so much. But you are just...
Yeah. Angry teenager. Very angry teenager.
Did mention on a previous podcast that you had a bit of a rocky relationship with your mom.
Yeah, definitely. I had big, like there was a lot of trouble with my mom, not just with me, with my whole family. So I held everything to myself. I never spoke about my emotions or my feelings.
We weren't taught to do that then.
No, I didn't live in a house where it was okay to come out and say,
This is how I feel. Because which, I was like, you'd be grand.
Exactly.
A load of shite.
Which is so funny because like my dad is my best friend in the world now. And my dad is the first person that's constantly checking up on us all for mental health and stuff. But my mom, she wasn't that way when I was younger. So yeah, I guess I just held everything inside and then I'd go into school and my teacher would look at me funny and I'd be like, fuck you! You know what I mean?
Yeah, because like, you knew they couldn't say out and back
exactly,
to you.
Exactly.
What I did. But I love hearing you speak so highly of your father. Tell us more about your dad.
So my dad is my best friend. He's literally, I can't even explain, lads. He's my best friend. He's my dad. He's everything all in one.
The first man to ever love you still continues to love you.
Exactly. Yeah. He is. But he's so good to all of us. Like, I have 3 siblings and he's literally the best dad in the world. He's just so thoughtful, so kind. If I rang my dad now and was like, Dad, I need a lift to Cork, he'd be here in a heartbeat. Like, he's that type of person. And he's real, like, I could go to my dad and talk to him about anything. I don't really have a relationship with my mom.
Right.
So my dad has had to kind of step in for all of us, all of my siblings, to that kind of mother role as well as a father role. So like things like periods and sex, like I don't have a mom to talk. Well, I do have a mom to talk to that about, but I don't feel comfortable to talk to it about my mom. Mm-hmm. So I talk to my dad about all that sort of stuff. Like, he's just the best in the world. I adore him. I love you, Dad.
Oh, please. That is so admirable because I think oftentimes, stereotypically, it is men that are left, that leave, and it's women that are left with kids. But in your case, it's a different way around.
Yeah,
and for
opposite.
A father, whatever about rearing a young man, but rearing 2 young girls.
Yeah.
And like you said, period, sex, navigation throughout life in that way. It must have been very, very difficult for your father.
Especially with me, like when I came to him about OnlyFans, like I cannot imagine, like most fathers would not react the way my dad did. Like when I went to him, I asked my dad, could I start OnlyFans before I started it? Because I didn't want to do anything that like, you know, would affect my family or affect my, you know? So I asked him and he was like, Niamh, you are your own person. You do whatever you want to do. I'll support you no matter what. Like, you're not my pet. You're my daughter. I'm not going to tell you how to live your life. He always just said he expected me to do something mad anyway because I always had that personality. So like a lot of fathers wouldn't navigate it like that. They'd be kicking their daughters out of the house and you know what I mean? So I'm very lucky. Very, very lucky.
So back to the topic of TikTok because I do have a few questions. So you said that you started TikTok during lockdown. Was it just for your own personal use at that stage? You didn't start it with any hope of...
Absolutely. I never thought that people would follow me. So I put up a video and it was literally just... of my veneers.
Yeah.
And it went like super viral and I gained like 20,000 followers from my very first video.
What the fuck?
Yeah, it went crazy.
That's
viral.
Mental.
Got a couple
and
of million
to do
views.
That, it's must have been viral.
Yeah,
viral. Huge.
And that was my very first video. And then it's addictive, innit? Like, it's addictive.
It's like gambling.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like you can post things up. What are you going to get? 777 on a machine. And you're probably not going to get it for another year. And then it's going to go viral. It's so addictive.
Exactly. It's addictive. And when you start getting, like, the likes and the followers. Like, let's be real here. When you very first start social media, it's 100% an ego trip.
Yeah.
Like, it's feeding your ego.
110%.
And now it knocks you back down very shortly after that.
Humbles you very quick.
But at the beginning, it's very, like, your ego's being fulfilled. You're like, oh my God, this is great. It was never like an intentional thing. I actually, at the Christmas, I started in February, and the Christmas before, my cousin was mad into TikTok, and I was like, you're a loser. Like, only losers use TikTok.
Well, I thought that when it started, I was like, what is this fucking 5-year-old app? Why is everybody talking about it? Like,
yeah.
I didn't start TikTok long into lockdown.
Yeah, like,
But I mean, just even watching it for myself, because long before I put a video on it, I just watched it.
Yeah.
But even still, I was like, I'm not downloading that shite load of kids.
My phone was white chicks.
That's what I thought, because it was Musical.ly before, and that was all just kids.
And then Vine.
Like, yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah, they
used to love
been,
Vine.
Like,
they were very
loved
funny.
Vine, them 3 second videos.
That's where like Gabby Hanna and all came from, and Jake Paul, isn't it?
It's mental, Jake Paul.
So
though.
See the way we have all these standout people that started out on like Vine and the likes. Mm. So obviously with TikTok, it started with that Go House.
Yeah.
What is this?
Niamh, do you want to explain? I think you'd have a better understanding of it than me.
So the Go House was like a content house made for Irish creators.
Mm-hmm. It was very young creators in it.
Yeah. I don't know enough about it, but to me, I thought it could have been done so much better. Like they got...
The idea was there.
The idea was great.
Yeah.
Great
yeah.
idea, and could have been executed a lot better, I feel. I feel like it was all the same type of creator that they put into the house. Yeah.
Very true. There should have been...
There should have been a bit of a variety, you know what I mean? People don't want all like lifestyle and fashion influencers. Like get a bit of variety in here. Get a couple of different types of people in here.
Of course.
So yeah, that was lockdown. Oh my God, I'm having like terror flashbacks from that.
Would you have been on the same scale as those creators at that time? Would you have been? Yeah.
Look at her, she's like, fuck them, I'm way bigger.
No, I was too controversial. I was doing OnlyFans at that time.
Were you doing OnlyFans when
I had just started OnlyFans, yeah.
Stop it.
Yeah.
That's how long you were doing that?
Yeah.
I feel like that was a lifetime ago.
Yeah, I had just started OnlyFans. Now, I'm talking just started OnlyFans.
Like in the caravan?
Yeah, in the caravan. Oh. In the caravan. And I was still working in my normal job as well, my 9-to-5.
So you only started OnlyFans in the caravan?
Yeah, I had only started OnlyFans in the caravan, and I was working my regular 9-to-5 as well at the same time. So that's how early on it was. But yeah, I would have definitely been as big as them at the time, if not some of them bigger maybe.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
It was just because I was so controversial.
That you weren't invited.
Invited to the party.
How were you feeling when you were still doing your 9-to-5 and people knew you started OnlyFans? Like, what were you feeling at that very moment in time? Like,
I was working from home at the time.
Okay.
So I actually didn't give a rat's.
Right.
And my job at the time, I actually have nothing but good things to say about this job. I worked for a company. It's an American financial company, and it was literally the best job I've ever had. When I was leaving, because it was an American company and the customers were in America, they didn't care and they didn't even want me to leave. They were so, so nice. I'll never have nothing but good things to say about
That's
them.
So lovely.
The company shut down now though, so if anything goes wrong, I'm screwed.
When you started OnlyFans, did the opinion of men or people you're attracted to, because I don't know your sexual preference, did that come into play? Did you say, Jesus Christ, if I start this OnlyFans, will people fancy me down the line? Will it affect people being attracted to me and change their view of me?
Yeah, 100%.
Did that come into play?
100%, yeah. But then you have to sit back and go, why would I not do OnlyFans with the fear that someone wouldn't get in a relationship with me?
Yeah.
Because do I really want to be in a relationship with someone that their morals do not align with my morals?
Absolutely.
Or which is so they're
or
like,
they don't support what you actually
exactly,
do.
Exactly. Like, I don't want to be with somebody that has a problem with sex workers or looks down on sex workers or anything like that. I'm not here for that, and I don't want to be with someone like that. So for me, it's like taking out the trash itself. It's ethical as well. Like, it's like, you don't have to do anything that you don't want to do. Mm-hmm. Like, I only do on my OnlyFans now solo content. That's it. That's all I do.
Yeah.
And I have like really strong boundaries now on what I do and what I don't do. There's other girls that do like loads more.
Mad stuff.
They do whatever they want to do, but it's completely ethical. It's it's the one industry, even within the porn industry, that women dominate. Like, if you go onto Pornhub, them men are being paid 10 times more than the women in those videos.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
OnlyFans is one of the only places where women are completely dominating. Like, men do not even make a smidgen of what women make on OnlyFans. And I think that's probably the problem that society has with it. I'd say that's a big part of the problem, is that the amount of money that girls are making on it, they don't think it's deserved.
Women's independence, how fucking dare you?
How dare you?
No, that makes perfect sense. But I asked you that question because before... I would have learned more about it before I would have became friends with yourself and before I would have been a lot more open minded. I would have been one of the haters. I would have been like, fucking slut, look a whore now, cutting everything. No, honestly,
but I know. I think
I
most
can't sit here in front of you and pretend that that wasn't me. And I'd like selling that, bleeding, howling, because I was insecure.
Like, don't even beat yourself up for that, because I think everybody had that opinion a couple of years ago.
I hold
like,
my hands up.
I think it's totally changed now.
Yeah,
but
it's just
I think
second nature now. It's yeah, like, yeah,
a couple of years
is.
Ago, everybody would have been like, "What a fucking tramp." Sex is such a broad term.
Yeah,
yeah. Sexual preference is so broad. Like,
just
kinks,
keeps continuing
fetishes,
on.
Yeah.
Doesn't
it's
stop.
Such a broad
doesn't
thing.
Stop.
Yeah,
like. There's people that be having wanks to people blowing down all Sean. Do you know what I mean? Like, and you'd think that that's not a thing, but a fucking
it is. It's a fucking red ball. It is. Blowing down all fuck off.
But it's so true.
Yeah.
Which brings me to asking you, right?
Right.
And I watched a podcast before coming on to do this with you. Yeah. Specifically on OnlyFans because I didn't know and studied an awful lot. So in the podcast that I watched, there's a table of I think it's four men. And there's three ladies at the top of the table. Two do OnlyFans. One does nightclub work and bottle service. Yeah. And she's in that industry and stuff. So like that, your man starts off and he's like, so what do you do? Say who you are, this, that and the other. And the girls are up and telling them and they enjoy their work. They're proud of the work that they do. And straight away then it's, but how are you proud?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And do you think this is going to last forever? He's so condescending in how he's speaking to these women. So much so that he gets them wound up and when they react, oh no, oh God, no, look, now this is, look at, this is what we mean. Your attitude is disgraceful. He fucking backpedaled and made it look like they were the angry women for reacting the way they reacted. I thought it was a fucking disgrace. Now, don't get me wrong. There was points made during the podcast that did make perfect sense. But on the most part, it was utter manipulation. I fucking hated it. But the question that he asked was, what is your long-term plan? Because apparently looks and body
looks
don't last
fade
forever.
Yeah.
So what's your stance on this? I'd love
so,
to know.
So let me be so real, okay? Nothing lasts forever. Yeah. Like, we do not know if we are going to be alive in 10 years' time. Yeah. Like, why the hell are we living in a world where we are more worried about 10 years than right now? This is why so many people are unhappy. Mm-hmm. It is completely ludicrous to me because there is so many jobs or industries that you could say the same thing for and people don't, right? The sex industry is the oldest industry in the world. I could have tits sagging to my ankles, right? And look horrific. So and men would still pay to see 100%. Me because they'll look at anything when they're in that moment.
Any hole is a goal.
It's such a silly, silly, silly mindset. I understand looks fade and maybe you won't make the massive money that you make now forever. But if I wanted to do sex work until I am 65 years of age, I could do it. Like 100%. There's plenty. Like, go and look on Pornhub. There's a whole granny section. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Like,
what do you call that section then?
But my point is that, like, the same thing could be said about Anthony. Nothing lasts forever. We don't know where, if we're even going to be alive in 10 years. So why would I not do something that's going to make me happy and that's going to
just
make my life
moment
better right now? Because with fear of what will I do in 10 years? It doesn't, that my brain doesn't work like that.
So have you, did you come from nothing? Or like, did your family have money?
My family had money. Like had people, money. Now my family had money, but I came from nothing because without going too much into it, I didn't get anything as a teenager. Like I paid for my own school books. I mentioned with my mom earlier, take from that what you will. But I paid for my own school books. I paid for everything as a teenager. So my family had money, but I didn't benefit from it. If you understand what I mean. Now,
yeah, no,
once
absolutely.
I turned 18, I did. But anyways, go on.
And then when out of nowhere from your random 9 to 5, well, not random, your normal 9 to 5 job that you had that wage. And then when OnlyFans came along and you shut up in the bank, basically, do you feel like you were still very humble and grounded or do you feel like you were a spoiled child?
Spoiled. Humble? No. I was, do you know what it was, right? When you get so much money in such a little amount of time at such a young age, you become quite egotistical. And I did for a period of time. Like, I look back at some things that I said and done on the internet and I am so embarrassed.
Yeah.
And one of my biggest defense mechanisms was when people used to come at me and say, well, you're a tramp. I used to be like, yeah, well, I've made this much.
Yeah.
Whereas now I'm like, I don't need to prove nothing to them. So no, I definitely didn't stay humble. But the internet humbled me. I think it's part of it. Like, you kind of go up and down and you eventually level out. But yeah, not humble, definitely not. I don't even know how much I have. It's in a business
account. I want to know if you can tell us the most you made in 1 month, if you
want
to.
Six figures is, yeah, the most I made in 1 month is 100,000. I'll say that because people know that.
What you fucking mean?
100K?
Like, I haven't got a score for a curry at the end of the week. This board is making 100,000 a week.
Do you know what the thing is?
No,
I was burning.
A month.
I was burning through money at that time because I was just making so much money that I
were you living over in Turkey at the moment?
Yeah, but I lost the value of money completely.
That's what I wanted to ask you. Has your value of money changed with the influx of money that you got so quickly? Did your value of money just go out the fucking window?
Absolutely, yeah. And still, like, I'm still working on being able to, like, rein myself back down because I used to work a minimum wage job for a long time. I started working at 14 and I was working for 60 quid a day and doing 12-hour days, like, in a family business. So who do I think I am doing, like, 20 Pretty Little Thing orders, going into Louis Vuitton? And do you know what the thing is? I'm actually, one thing about me is I spend so much money on other people. Like, I really need to work on that as well because I kind of feel bad, like, if I'm out with some of my friends that maybe don't earn a lot of money and we go for food, I tend to every single time I'll go to pay, which they hate that. They're like, Niamh, stop. Like,
your
you don't
real
need
friends
to do
will
this.
Hate that.
Exactly. Yeah. They're like, Niamh, stop. You don't need to do this. What, you want to buy you dinner today because you bought it last time? But for me, it's this thing of, like, I feel.
It's like a safety net. Like, you have made me so happy. I love you. I'm just giving back to you.
Exactly. But
I don't want anything back from you. Just take it and thank you for a brilliant day kind of thing.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. But that's where, like, definitely the value of money thing comes in because I don't ever, like, I have to check myself at times because I'll just go spend. Like, I'm a very young girl and the amount of money that I earned in a short period of time is a huge amount of money and I had no real financial advice. So look, obviously you're going to make mistakes.
It's like, it's like when you get a loan.
Made a few. Bought a whole house and left the country.
Oh, you bought a whole house?
She's in that sort of money, but
like, comfortably able to buy it, like, or
But I don't even live there.
Look at her, she's like, fuck yeah. Go on, into more detail, tell me all about this.
I bought a villa in Turkey, but I don't even live
there
anymore.
I'm still waiting for the invite.
Had to leg it.
Shave hasn't been in that house myself.
I can't even go in the gaff. I mean, I can't even call him what I want to call him, but I can't even go back to Turkey. So I have to sell the house, basically. But just a silly decision that I made. Spur of the moment. A great example on where my value of money was.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So, do you feel like people almost have a right to you because you share your body online? Like, do you feel people think they have a right to you because you share your body online?
Yeah, definitely. I think, like, I always use this analogy. If you buy a picture of a tree, are you buying the tree or are you buying a picture of the tree? Like, you don't own the tree. But I definitely think, not so much now because I'm very strong in my boundaries with people. And I'll be honest, I am not personal at all with my OnlyFans. Some girls do video calls. Some girls speak to them on a personal
level.
They
build up like a rapport with
a relationship.
Yeah.
I do not do that. I do not want any type of personal relationship.
Like, seeking arrangements.
Exactly. It's dangerous. To me, it's something that passes my boundary. I'm not doing it. But definitely at the beginning, I think people did think that, especially with, like, your nudes get leaked and they say, well, you deserve it, you do OnlyFans, whereas that's not the truth. But because I do OnlyFans, they think they have a right.
Yeah, of course. We've seen recently a gorgeous friend of ours ended up in a situation where somebody had attacked her from viewing her online and constantly messaging her and constantly at her. Have you had people like that constantly messaging you with threats or just weird behaviour? Have you had something like that, and has it gotten to the extent where you've had to go to the guards?
So there was actually one only the other day that I rang the Garda advice line because there was this guy on TikTok. He made this video and, like, the way he spoke about me was disgusting. Like, he was calling me all sorts of names. He was commenting on my looks, my appearance. He said in the video, if you want to see this video of her, text me and I'll send it to you.
Oh, wow.
And people were writing underneath it, send me it. And he was going, message me on WhatsApp. This man was grown. Like, this man was 45 or so, had a wife and three children.
What?
Yeah, wife and three children.
What the fuck?
And now I went on a bit of a snoop and I looked on his Facebook account. He uploaded all of his videos onto Facebook. Didn't upload that video though. So clearly he doesn't want his wife to see that video.
Wow.
Yeah. So I done my little due diligence. I rang the Garda advice line because I'm not going to lie back anymore and let people walk all over me. This is a crime that you're committing.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. And you're openly admitting you're committing a crime. People are confused, and I want to say this here and now. People, when I say it's a crime, they say it's not because you do OnlyFans. It is. Read the law. It doesn't matter if you do OnlyFans. When I do OnlyFans, I only consent to my pictures to being shared on OnlyFans. That is it. I do not consent to them being shared anywhere else. So I rang the Garda advice line. They told me to come down to the station. I also texted his wife.
And you know what?
Rightly fucking
so. As you should.
So I texted his wife. He has three really young girls. Like, I'm talking.
Young girls?
Young girls.
Now, come
in. It was extremely perverted behavior. Like, honest to God, it was horrible. Like,
to have that venom towards a stranger, that's a young girl.
Yeah.
And you're rearing three young girls.
You're
fucking danger of a human being.
Yeah, it was sick. I literally only rang the guards when I seen that he had the three daughters because I was like, do you know what scares me about those types of people? That is the ideology that they're teaching to their kids.
Yeah.
And people often say to me, well, what if you have kids? My kids will never be reared like that.
Oh, God,
with that ideology to think that way about people based off a career choice or what they do for a living. They'll also never be taught to think that, you know, sex or sexuality is something disgusting and that needs to be completely hidden and you should be ashamed about it. So I think that scares me big time is that these types of people are raising children that are going to hold the same ideology as them.
Absolutely. That is...
it's bizarre.
Chronic.
What the fuck is wrong with people?
It's so scary. And I think because people are so accessible on the internet now, it's sending these incels into a fucking spiral.
Yeah.
Basically.
Oh, completely. Completely.
Do you know what I mean?
They're going mad because we're coming into a time now where things like OnlyFans are becoming more acceptable and they are not coping with it.
Yeah, because that's, like I said and I explained, I would have been very one of them. Look at fucking whore. And now I'm like, look at whore getting that money, because a huge thing about sex work, and I always say this, an awful lot of the time, it is circumstantial.
Yeah,
absolutely.
An awful lot of the time, sex work is due to women having to feed their kids, pay their mortgage.
Absolutely.
Do you know what I mean? And we're out here being like, look at that tramp. She's fucking two kids to feed.
Yeah. Especially in the current economy, like a lot of women are doing OnlyFans and picking up sex work because they are not making enough money in their normal job
to
feed their family. Yeah. And people think that every girl that does OnlyFans is in my situation where I blew up and I started making a lot of money very quickly. There's women on that site that are making less than minimum wage just to put food on their kids' tables. But I'm not going to sit here and lie and say I do OnlyFans because I find it empowering. I think when people say that, it's the biggest load of bollocks. Like, in personally, I do OnlyFans because I make more money on OnlyFans than I ever would in any other job.
Of course.
I absolutely don't find it empowering. Of course I don't. I actually find it, sometimes I find it quite the opposite of that.
Right.
And that's not to say money comes before like anything else. I'm able to like balance out the pros and the cons and it works for me.
Yeah.
But for me, it's definitely not a thing of like, oh, I feel super empowered by doing this. It's more, I would never ever make this money in any other line of work. And I think instead of being angry at the girls doing it, why aren't we angry at the government that this is the only way that people feel like they can make that sort of money?
I just admire your honesty and I'm so impressed by you as a person. And people underestimate your intelligence.
Thank you.
You are such a smart girl. And I think it's because of outrage marketing.
Yeah.
You yourself are self-admittedly the biggest troll there ever fucking was.
Literally.
The biggest. Well, she says openly out of her mouth on her social channels, I am a troll and you're eating out of the palm of my fucking hand.
And I'm going to make thousands of millions off of you, so thank you.
What more can you say? She is telling
people.
It's
like she has them hypnotised. She's like, right, go on. Click on to be linked there.
Like, it's spectacular. And then people often say to me when they see me and you having a back and forth on social media, if I share you or anything like that, are you friends with her?
Yeah.
I say, yeah, I fucking
one
am.
One person actually texted me that before.
Are you actually, friends with her?
So you sent the one that you tagged me in. Remember you were in, I don't know what
event. Oh, Beabelle.
You were in the Blue Mars label, I think, were you?
Yeah, we were happy about.
Yeah, but you put it up and they were like, I can't believe you got in a photo with her. She's a whore. I was like, that's the fuck.
What is actually fucking wrong with you? Like, you actually friends with her. I fucking hate the way she goes on online. And I'm like, let me stop you. You hate the way she goes on online.
Yeah.
You don't hate the person that she is. Mm-hmm. You're a walking contradiction.
Absolutely. Oh, completely.
A fucking walking contradiction.
I'm a completely opposite. Like, it's so funny because even my boyfriend now, when we first met, he was like, what the fuck, like, you're a completely different person.
He wanted a crazy version.
Like, he thought he was getting Nevo and he got Neve, you know what I mean? No, two completely different people. My thoughts and ideologies are the same, but in terms of how I portray them to the world, two completely different people.
You're like Paris Hilton.
Yeah.
We all know she doesn't sound like that, literally.
I think as well, I think what grinds people's gears is that I used to get a lot of hate and bullying on the internet and I never capitalised off it, whereas now I wind people up on purpose.
Mm-hmm. Traffic to your page, girl.
It's traffic to my page and I'll make money, and I've learned how to capitalise off people's venom. I'm never going to stop doing that, sorry. People are always going to be pricks and I'm always going to be a
troll. You're always going to get more arseholes than you are going to get nice people.
Exactly. But if the arseholes are the loudest in the room.
Oh, of course, and that one's that pay the most as well.
Yeah.
But it's so funny to me that you ended up in a relationship with Sir Alex Sheen himself because the very first person I ever heard say bad publicity is still publicity was Alex.
Yeah.
And
that's my baby.
Because I remember being like, lad, just fucking can't do this. Lad, you just can't fucking do, don't do that. And I was literally policing Alex. To a point that I was like, Alex, scared of fucking any. He's like, Carly, it doesn't bleed matter.
Yeah.
Because all publicity is good publicity. It doesn't matter what it is. It's still fucking publicity.
Especially in like, you know, if I was wanting like a load of brand deals and stuff, I wouldn't really want the bad publicity, you know.
Hence why I don't do all that well with all that.
Whereas I'm in the porn industry. So like, or the OnlyFans industry. I don't know what industry that is, but I'm in that industry. So you cannot cancel me. Like, you can't.
You work for yourself. Yeah. You don't have anything to upkeep.
Exactly.
You work for you. You can't fucking do anything to me.
So there's certain industries that you just can't. And I think like even like Alex is a great example of that because the whole world tried to cancel them and now they're on tour with Snoop Dogg. You know what I mean? There's certain types of jobs that they're not cancelable. Stop trying. You know what I mean?
Or even if you do fucking cancel them, they're going to come back 10 times fucking harder. Exactly. You're not getting two of the most stubborn people. Listen, it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
We did want to move on and talk about something you mentioned earlier on. So you did mention earlier on that you were well off enough to get yourself a home in Turkey.
Yes.
Can we talk about the Turkey era of your life and how you got
this
there?
This is the Nevo I know, the mad bastard running around Turkey.
Oh my God, literally.
Talk to us. So you said again in a previous podcast that you used to holiday in Turkey with your family.
No, so my family used to holiday in Turkey.
Right.
And then I went the last time. So then I went over to get my plastic surgery done. And then I don't know what I went over for the last time. And I just never came home. Honestly, lads, I was running away from my problems. At the time, I was getting like really bad hate. I had just started OnlyFans. You know, my nudes were being leaked everywhere. I was getting death threats. And I ran away from my problems into the arms of a monster, which wasn't the most clever thing to do. But I think I was just at a very vulnerable, like that's probably the most vulnerable I've ever been in my life. So my head wasn't right. I was completely erratic, very mentally ill. It's sad when I look back and think of myself then, I'm so sad because it's just not me. Like it's not me at all. Mm-hmm. As much as I'm wild and I'm a bit of a character, I'm not that horrible, negative, toxic person. But unfortunately, because that was my environment and my surroundings, it started rubbing off on me, if that makes sense.
Do you think if you could go back and change that, would you have changed what you're doing, or do you think it has helped you grow into the person that you are now?
No, I wouldn't. Not a chance, because I feel like it's led me to exactly where I am now. And like right now, I have a great relationship with my family, great friends. I'm in the best place in my career that I've been in a long time. I have the best boyfriend in the world. So everything that's happened has led me to that place.
I do believe that the same lessons are going to keep coming to you in different bodies until you learn them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If people don't follow you and don't know about your background, you are very open online about speaking about the hardships you have faced, because Jesus Christ, you've been through the mill, and you are an advocate for so many different things.
Yeah.
I think it was so unfortunate for you that what had happened to you in that situation played out online.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Did that make it more difficult for you?
To be honest, with that whole situation, obviously, I got away from him and he started messaging all my followers and just trying to humiliate me online. He stole a lot of things from me. So I kind of felt forced that I had to go and talk about it on my story, because I was getting messages from my followers being like, Niamh, your ex is sending me this, that and the other. So I went anyway on my story, and can I be 100% honest?
Yeah,
it felt fucking amazing. He took everything from me for 2 years. I had no control of my own life. I had no control of what came out of my mouth. I had no control of anything, and I felt completely vulnerable and out of control. And for the first time, it felt like now you can't control me anymore. And it felt like that for the very, very first time. And it felt great. Now, obviously, there's still this, you're scared because you're opening up and being vulnerable about something that I was embarrassed to admit that that's what had been going on.
Yeah.
Because people had been guessing that.
And come here to me, an awful lot of people kept on saying, but you went back though.
Yeah.
But you went back though.
And
that
I did.
That is something that fucking grinds my gears and eats me up. People don't understand the coercive control that these people can have over you.
Yeah.
I've been in situations years and years and years ago in my life. Now, I wouldn't even say it was a relationship with this person that I was with. But it's almost like Stockholm syndrome.
Absolutely, yeah.
That you build a love and a trust for a person.
Yeah.
And you start to believe that, oh God, they're only doing this because they had a hard life. Oh God, they're only doing this because they're really hurting inside.
Yeah.
They do love me. It's just they don't know how to express themselves. And I'm the only person that understands them.
Mm-hmm.
Your brain does this to protect you.
Yeah.
And your brain spins this story to you so you don't believe that you're receiving the abuse that you're getting, whether it's physically, emotionally, spiritually, mentally. Regardless of whether you are hurting or not, how you present yourself in this world is your fucking responsibility.
Yeah, absolutely.
That is on you. I don't care what's happened to you. What amazes me about these types of people is you think with you going through the hardships, so either being in an abusive situation at the hands of a person or at the hands of something that had happened to you in your life.
Yeah.
I find that abusive people become the exact same as the people that they never wanted to be like. The people that destroyed them, they become those people, or they create the situations that destroyed them for different fucking people.
For different people,
and that makes no sense to me. Yeah. If you're so damaged, why the fuck would you want to put that on anybody
on
else?
Other people. Yeah.
Makes no sense to me. And I used to always make excuses for people throughout my life. I've seen it happen to friends of mine and their parents. I've seen it happen to loads of different situations. I've been in them myself.
Yeah.
Not always me directly. I've been a part of them on an outer scale. And I've always just said, like, I've always kind of had the benefit of the doubt for the person and been like, oh God, well, they just had an awful time and they're just really hurting.
Yeah.
Fuck off.
No.
Fucking hurt. So, hurt in therapy, you mad strat. Go fucking talk to somebody and don't keep on destroying people
other
along the
lives.
Way.
Yeah. And I got that a lot. Like people saying, well, you went back and, well, you said he was lovely on social media. That's a big part of, like, people need
to. You are trying to spin that story to yourself.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
And people need to understand and research coercive control. It is one of the most dangerous forms of domestic violence, and most women don't come out of it alive. Like, there is a massive statistic of women that do not walk out of these relationships alive, whether they hurt themselves or their partner hurts them, or they maybe never leave and they're stuck in that loop forever and that cycle forever. But coercive control causes your brain to malfunction. You are not thinking rationally.
Yeah.
You are lying to yourself and everybody around you to protect the person that's hurting you the most in the world. And I think people don't have a good enough understanding of it, and that's why they react that way.
You're in survival mode and you're doing everything you have to do to survive, and you're not only trying to protect yourself, you're trying to protect the people around you.
Absolutely.
I remember you mentioning your fucking heart was broke that a situation had went on and one of your younger brothers was present.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
People judging you for trying to take the steam out of the kettle when yeah. somebody you love and have to protect is around you.
Yeah.
You done what you had to do to survive yeah. in that fucking moment. I used to be one of them people, again, I have to hold my hands up and say this now, because my friends throughout life had been in situations and I'd be like, you stupid cunt, you keep on fucking going back.
Yeah.
And it never made sense to me.
Before I was in it myself.
It never made sense to me. And it's only when you're fucking knee deep in the trenches yourself, you go, bollocks.
Yeah.
Now I fucking see. And you never, ever, ever dream that it's going to be you.
Yeah.
And then you get the whole, never thought you'd have took that off something.
Yeah. And I got that so much because obviously I come across as such a dominant figure. So I got a lot of the time, well, you know, I didn't think something like that happened to you. But I went through quite a bad childhood that made me very vulnerable to those types of
yeah.
people.
Yeah.
And it's not the first time that I was with someone that wasn't very nice. Now, never like that. But
not to that extent.
Because of what happened to me in my childhood, I was going for that type of person because my normality was toxicity. And that's what I seeked out. That's why I say I would never change what happened, because what happened with that person is the worst possible scenario that could have happened, bar obviously him killing me. But it really made me wise up. Wise the fuck up and stop putting yourself in mm-hmm. these dangerous situations. Stop allowing your childhood trauma to ruin your future. And it really, really opened my eyes to that. So that's a big reason as well why I'll yeah. never, ever change what I went through, because I would just be continuing the cycle.
It was like I said, the lesson's going to keep on coming yeah. to you in different bodies until you wake the fuck up.
Yeah.
Like you said, you are comfortable in chaos.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what I say all the time. People often say, and it's a fucking disgraceful thing, women get reprimanded for daddy issues. When the men are causing the fucking problem
and we're
getting told we have daddy issues.
Yeah. That grinds on me. Like, if a girl has daddy issues, that's not her fault.
Apparently it's their
daddy's fault.
They make it out that it's her problem when a man has inflicted his shite on us.
Yeah.
And that's how we fucking ended up with the problems. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But I totally understand where you are coming from. If I had not been in similar situations growing up myself like that, it was only when I hit, there was like a pinnacle moment years and years and years ago, like I said, when I was in that situation, that I woke up and I went, oh, fuck it.
Yeah.
Now I see how and why people end up in these situations.
Yeah.
And when I seen you going through it and it playing out in front of the world, I was like, that's fucking crazy.
Yeah.
Because I'd have never been able to cope the way you did.
Yeah.
I know you said that it was so liberating for you to share.
But it was also scary because I got a lot of people calling me a liar, questioning me. And I had every bit of proof. You could not doubt what I was saying. I had texts. I had pictures of black eyes and cuts and bruises. And still people sat there and called me a liar.
Absolutely.
Or said, what did you do to make him do that? So it was also a really, really scary thing. Like, I don't want to make out that it was just all roses and daisies. It was also super, super scary at the same time.
But you are nobody's vigilante at that stage. And this is the point that I want to make. You didn't have to do what you did.
Yeah.
I find that when people go through any sort of abuse and people are like, well, why aren't you speaking out and saying that?
Yeah.
I'm not here to save the fucking world. Nobody has to use their story
to help
others. Anything. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. And there's a lot of stuff that I haven't spoken about,
of course,
online. And I never will speak about it online, because if it's not something that I feel comfortable speaking about, I'm sorry, I am not going to help anybody else with that.
You have to look after number one first.
Yeah.
And I know that's a dreadful thing to say, especially in these situations, but you do have to keep parts of your life back for yourself. We're all very public people, but that doesn't mean just because we have ourselves on social media that anybody has any right to any section of our lives.
Yeah.
We can keep back what we want to keep back.
Absolutely. And but people feel like they're owed something as well. Like, it drives me mad.
It drives me mad.
Sean,
you got that really bad.
I do and I don't.
As in people being like, why aren't you on your stories making me laugh?
You rarely ever see me put a close friends up ever, because I just say what I feel, like you.
Yeah.
I just say what it is. They're well within their rights, I think, because I give them so much business. So they're probably like, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah.
Even though they're not within their rights, but they definitely think somewhere in the back of their heads.
If you're having a bad day,
absolutely. I'm done
with
that. Yeah. I've learned to take myself out of the whole situation. Yeah. I'm not going to go on to something that's so toxic. Screen time down.
Yeah.
Fuck off, away from me. And I'm just going to do what makes me happy. Like, honestly. Yeah. Fuck off. People do me head in.
Yeah.
And I love every single one of them, but when I get it bad and I'm like, get the fuck away
from
me.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't know one thing about me. Yeah. And you're coming in here thinking that you can just say what you want to say when it's absolutely not one thing got to do with you.
And the most of the time I find what grinds me as well is like a lot of the time the people asking the most questions and being the most nosiest, They're the shit stirrers.
They're not asking you nor telling you and for the good of yourself.
On a Reddit somewhere or a forum. So everyone knows all the ins and outs. So when it starts, they all just come spiraling together. Exactly. It's out of fucking shite.
Or they want to be the first ones to see the reaction.
Exactly.
So when people come to you with a statement or tell you about, I'm just telling you because I'm looking out for you. Mm-hmm. No, you're telling me because you want to see the fucking reaction.
Yeah.
And that's what you want. You want to be the first to see how I feel about that.
Like, get a life, honestly. Fuck off. Do something else.
But you know
life.
What? Misery loves company.
Oh, Carly loves it. Irish people are very morbid.
Very morbid, the Irish people. No, they do. They fucking love it. And they're so fickle because, like that, the happier I get in myself and the more secure I am in myself and the less sick I am and the happier I'm becoming, Jesus Christ, people are dropping like flies off my Instagram.
Absolutely.
The happier I become, the more people
actually,
drop in.
You did. You spiraled at one stage and then I went back down like 400.
Do you know what I mean? Because
you started sharing pages and doing things that actually physically make you happy
that
and you
make
didn't want to be fake.
Because it's
Instagram.
Not making them feel it's good anymore. Not. Oh, I'm going to follow like this sick girl and like all of her stuff.
My life is so much better than hers. Exactly. And whether people like
absolutely.
It or not, it's the doe-eyed Bambi look going, oh, Jesus, God bless her now. On the hospital front of things, you put up a little TikTok last night.
What?
Talking about all your surgeries.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So do you feel like all the hate that you've got when you got it, do you feel this is when the plastic surgery came in that you're like, oh, if I do this, it'll numb me and make me feel better about myself?
No, or? I was always obsessed. So I was from, I can't remember what age my dad told me. I was 2 or 3 years old and I was obsessed with the page three girls in the magazines. I wanted to be a Playboy bunny when I grew up. I was obsessed with like the Pamela Anderson,
Glamour.
Dolly Parton, big boobs, big bum.
Women supporting women from a young age. Well done, girl.
Completely. I shouldn't have been looking at the page three, can I just say? But anyway,
We always did.
Yeah, so I was obsessed with all of that and I was obsessed with plastic surgery and I wanted a BBL from the time I was maybe like 17. So it wasn't something that came along with social media, definitely not. But I think social media added to it. Like there's certain things that I definitely never would have done, like my ears. I never would have touched my ears if it wasn't for social media,
the pressure
and the pressure.
People say it so much that you start to realise like, oh yeah, it's true. I might as well get it fixed.
There's certain things that maybe I wouldn't have done or maybe I wouldn't have rushed things as much as I did, but it definitely wasn't a new thing. No, I was obsessed with plastic from a young age.
And you said in your TikTok that you put up last night, you were like the fucking teeth.
Yeah.
You never should have done it.
Biggest regret. So I have like crowns, right?
I know Hona used to work in a dentist.
No, Sean has analysed your whole mouth. See, when you sat down in front of him,
I've analysed
it
from
what it was, what was used to do it.
Oh, Sean, don't tell me mine. I'll go splats.
No, girl.
Do you like that look on his face like that?
Yeah.
You should have got braces for us. But you know this anyway, but go on.
So I was meant to get my jaw broken and get braces because I have like a 12 millimeter overbite and I could have gotten, you know, the big block retainers as a teenager, but I refused to wear them and got taken off the HSE waiting list. So by the time I was 18, my jaw had stopped growing and I would have needed surgery to fix it, right? Mm-hmm. So it's
that's extensive. That's a bad L surgery.
So that turned me off ever getting braces because the orthodontist was kind of saying like, we don't want to do braces unless you're going to do the surgery because it's not going to look right. You know what I mean?
How long ago was that?
Oh my God, I would have been 17, 18. But in my head, I was just like, no, like, I don't want this surgery, so I'm not doing it. Plus, I didn't want to wear braces for 3 years. Like, they were telling me I'd have to wear braces for 2 or 3 years. So I was like, no, I don't want to wear braces for 2 or 3 years. So I rushed over to Turkey, got crowns, shaved all of my teeth off my mouth, and got crowns put on, and it's one of my biggest regrets. I like how my face looks and how my overbite looks. I think it makes me look cute. Like, I think it's like a little bunny.
I love your little face.
It's a little bunny like mouth.
Yeah, you're
you know?
So sweet.
And I feel like it actually makes me look younger because overbites are usually connected to like someone being younger because most people get it fixed, you know
of
what
course,
I mean?
Yeah.
So I always look at the positive in it. I'm like, it makes me look younger. It's
cute. You don't look your age.
But it's my biggest regret because my teeth eventually won't hold these crowns anymore. Like, I'm talking maybe in 10 years, my teeth won't hold these crowns anymore. And I will need to get, like, a bridge and implants.
You need to get
and,
an all on four or an all on six.
Yeah. And there's also a chance, like, they can now... I haven't had any problems with my teeth or with my gums, thank God. But there's also a chance that it can make your gums decay and rot away.
I've heard this.
So... yeah, I'm very nervous about the future. Could have dentures in the future, lads. If I do, say nothing.
Yeah, okay. You'd be giving little gummy gobblers on OnlyFans and you'd be fucking taking the dentures out before I do the video. Listen, you said you could go till you're 70, girl. I'd keep putting petrol in the tank. Keep on going.
Oh, you're a swine, I swear to God.
Oh, God, tonight. So, your surgery's all over. You're happy with them, bar the L, the tit.
Yeah. Don't like my boobs. So my family, we all have saggy tits, right? Right. Just going to say here and now.
It's, yeah, listen, and I tell you, I have that big giblet of a chin. It just, listen, we all get handed down things we don't really want. So here we are.
Genetics. So, and I have like pepperonis, girls. Like, I'm talking pepperonis, peppers. Right? Pepperonis, not peppers, pepperonis, oh, this big, okay. Right?
And, I thought you were pulling it up.
She's pulling it up.
I thought
what?
She was pulling it up. I said, oh.
Is his camera
my
still on?
Good God.
Oh, Sean, what did you think this was?
To God, your face.
He looks terrified. He looks horrified.
Yeah, I am. Don't be just flashing the pepperonis at me like that. I wasn't prepared.
No, well, at least you have pepperonis. I have kiddie diddies. My nipples are fucking see-through.
I've seen yours, Carly. Yours are lovely.
You've seen mine? What did I do?
Do you not remember at the after
party? Don't.
We're feeling the ditties. Examining the ditties.
Yeah, not everyone feel the ditties.
Did we do an OnlyFans video together?
Oh, it's on Trina.
Oh. Explicit content. Private message all over the country. Get Anthony up there now if you're looking for that, lad. Carly 20.
We have questions that listeners sent in for you. So it says, hi guys, I love the podcast, would like to keep this anon. I'm considering starting an OnlyFans account, but I'm afraid it might hold me back in years to come for things like jobs, etc. How did Niamh get over this when starting her own?
I always advise people not to start an OnlyFans, which I know is super hypocritical, but most people, like, I don't really have that worry because obviously I'm quite popular on OF. I make enough money now that I don't really need to worry as much about getting a job in the future. Like, on top of that, I have my social media to fall back
absolutely.
On. I have 100 other things I can do. If you're just a normal person, who the fuck do I think I am? Like,
if you're a normie,
if you're just someone that in the future would want to work in a normal job of some sort, do not start OnlyFans because we do not know what the opinion or the view is going to be in the future. You do not want to do something that is potentially going to harm your future, and it shouldn't be that way, but unfortunately it is. Mm-hmm. And on top of that, I can guarantee you now, it's such an oversaturated industry at the moment. Everyone and their mother is doing OnlyFans. You are not going to make enough money to justify fucking up future potential jobs.
Unless you have a social media platform at the moment that's exactly. already doing really well.
And exactly.
Are you saying there's basically
the
no point?
Yeah, I think it's a very, like, it would be extremely hard to work yourself up to the point of earning five figures a month. It would be so hard to work yourself up to earning that much money. It would be nearly impossible because it's super oversaturated, lads. Like, look at in Ireland, everyone does it. You know what I mean?
And nanny.
Exactly.
That was really good advice because I think people think the second they sign into absolutely, that account on OnlyFans, they're going to have 100 grand sitting in the bank.
No, I thought that as well.
I was like,
when it was during COVID, I was like, everyone's on my page now. Like 120,000 followers viewing me stories when I didn't even have that many. So I was like, maybe I'll just do something, but I'll just put funny videos up of me, man. They'll all think it's clearly me showing me little pum pum. I said I'd rather not. And we didn't, but you still have a few videos in the bank from when you were sick, just pretend.
Sean keeps looking at me and being like, Carly, will you just do it?
Yeah,
like,
well,
just
Carly, come on.
I've an arse like a melted bag of custard.
No, you do
I'm
not.
But
well,
when you have your sheen leggings on.
You've a nice little bum in them sheen leggings.
Yeah. Seeing, and you're bent over and you're like, yeah.
Do you know
like
all these wendy. Men keep texting me being like, some hole on your love? I'm like, yeah, it belongs to the leggings, so I don't know why you're texting me.
It's
for 11 euro I paid for that arse. Right, so we have another listener question. I can't afford to get any work done, mm-hmm. but I'm really self-conscious about my appearance. How can I work on self-love? From Anonymous.
oh my God, I hate these questions because it's like, well, honey, if I knew how to do that, I wouldn't have got work done.
You're like, so I'm probably not the best person. But now you have. You've grown so much now.
I feel like, I don't know, with me, I'm weird, lads. Like, one day I just woke up and was like, look, this is how you look, and that's it. So you can either love yourself or you can put yourself through torture. Absolutely. You know what I mean? Like,
or you can learn to love.
Yeah, and I think maybe a big part of it is play around with, like, your hair, your makeup, your nails. Kind of experiment, do things differently until you find something that you feel comfortable in.
I think that was fucking lovely.
I thought it was lovely.
And do you know what? I'd never thought to even say that.
I would. I'm only joking. I'm just bunting our podcast. I'm just sitting here smiling at you.
So to end on a really positive note, because we did speak about the situation that you were in, I did skip across. Just to shine a bit of light on your current situation, your current relationship, tell me.
So, yeah. I'm with Alex. He's the love of my life.
Full
stop.
Jesus wouldn't have known.
I love him. I love the boy to bits. He's literally the best person that I've ever had in my life. He's such a kind soul. Like, I wish people...
And you wouldn't... Yeah. People would think that.
People probably definitely it's don't like think that.
Alex is the very same in name and the respect.
You know that she's said this all the time.
Oh, he is a walking contradiction. Like, the persona...
The
persona and the character is completely different. Now, me and Alex used to box head off.
You said this all the time.
Used to fucking kill each other, and I swear to God, one of us on a bad day would only have to look at each other and we'd be like, fucking don't start. Like, we grinded each other's gears for many different reasons, but there was always a big respect and there was always like an underlying love there for him, I'd be like, Alex is a fucking idiot, but if someone else said it in front of me, I'm like, what you fucking mean? Again, how knowledgeable he is in everything.
He's so intelligent.
How creative he is.
Oh my
God. It's actually a sin, Sean. He's a genius.
More intelligent than you. I feel like you're very
intelligent. Way more intelligent than me.
Again, people just go off the internet and think they know everything about a person.
Yeah.
When they know sweet fuck
all. Nothing.
Exactly. And like that, a very empathetic, very gentle, very kind man.
Very kind soul.
And he's after ending up with a woman the exact same.
I always say, like, people always say, like, if you looked at our characters online, you'd be like, oh my God, you'd never put them two together. But if you know us both personally,
in real life, you are very well
suited. We're so similar. Like, we're like,
I feel like you, the way you were saying, like, he thought he was getting evil.
Yeah.
Like, people think that I'm like that all the time.
Yeah.
Where I have toned myself down a lot, like, recently, but I would be like, just like with Shauna and Sean.
Yeah.
Me or the persona, but I would be just like normal.
Yeah. And then
just want a little movie night and cuddle. I'm not asking for much. But people think I'm going to be running around with beanbags and kicking the head off. You're like, I'm not. So if anyone is still listening, I'm asking you a year now and no one has come into the inbox. No, I'm only joking.
Well, Niamh manifested Alex.
Oh my God. Yeah, I did manifest it, Sean. I made a TikTok, right, 2 years ago. So this was the TikTok. I said, were you with Eskimo Supreme? And then I said, yeah. And then it was like, and then what happened? And I said, I woke up like I was dreaming because I fancied him so much, right?
She opened
and she made 9 million that day on OnlyFans.
I wasn't even doing OF at this stage. This was innocent. This was innocent caravan, Nebo, Sean.
Oh, you have gone around a wall in 2 years.
She's a chameleon. She's been so many different people.
But that's what I manifested it then. Because obviously now he's my boyfriend. So I am with him now. So the TikTok does stand. I always say to Alex, right? Alex was the first person that I was with from ever since, you know, that
of
bad
course,
situation, which we won't talk about. And that was going to be like the beginning. I was like, right, this is my whole era. Like, you know, I'm going on putting myself out there. Met Alex, boyfriend.
Wifed.
He was fucking booted up.
I have to manifest someone.
Right, so Sean decided that we're finished now. Yeah. So I just want to say the biggest thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
For your honesty and for you just being you. I've said it a million times during the podcast. I've wanted to get my hands on you for such a long time to have this sit down and this chat because I really wanted people to see your personality shine through.
Thank you for having me, both yous. It's been a pleasure.
I really enjoyed the chat. Thank you for making this a very special episode.
No, she's buzzing. Look at her face.
Love you as well.
I'm so happy for her.
Love you. Love you.
Thanks so much, Niamh.
Thanks honestly, for listening, yeah, lads. Take care. Bye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.